Hello and welcome to the Car and Move podcast. Here we are. There we are. We're doing this live. I'm a little bit rusty. My name's Dan Robertson, joined by John Townley to look ahead to a big one at Villa Park tomorrow night, Saturday night football for Aston Villa versus Mauricio Pochettino's Chelsea. John, how are you, mate? You okay?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks, Dan. It's always a bit more like dramatic when we're live because it means I've just come from the door after like a long drive. So, yeah, I'm doing fine. Thank you. Looking forward to tomorrow night. Yeah, against the Chelsea team, who obviously lost 5-0 on Tuesday. And then they lost to City as well the last weekend, I think, in the FA Cup semi-final. But yeah, I don't think this is a team that we can take lightly there. We're going to touch on it soon, but they can play one of two ways. But I think if Villa play to their game, we'll be okay. So yeah, looking forward to obviously a massive opportunity as well. So doing well. Thanks, Danny. You?
Yeah, not bad. I was going to say I feel slightly nervous about doing this live, considering we do so much live content post-match show, but that's just like vibes. We just kind of talk about whatever. It's a bit of a structure to this show, and we used to do it live, but it's been a while since we've done one. Forget being nervous for this, though. Are you nervous for tomorrow? Is that kind of pre-game anticipation started to set in for you yet, or is it because it's an 8 o'clock kickoff, got a bit more time to think about it?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, because we're, and I know Tottenham have got 6 points, two games, but 6 points to captain us when they play Burnley and Sheffield United. So I'm actually visualising the table at the moment that we're level. Okay. But then if you look at it, not, if that makes sense. So I'm not like too nervous, but at the same time, I do think this is actually a massive game, obviously, because we're going for the Champions League. But, you know, 6 points ahead of Tottenham, yeah, great, but they'll close that gap. So, you know, we need to be picking up more points than them in our four games than their other four games, if that makes sense. So they've got Liverpool, Chelsea, Man City and Arsenal, which are, you know, all really difficult games. But Villa still need to do their thing, don't they? I think two wins should be enough. There'll be some John McGinn quotes that come out later tonight. And I'm not really breaking embargo by talking about him, I suppose, but he basically said that he has a figure in mind of what he wants, or what he thinks Villa will get, and he didn't want to share it.
A point total?
Yes. Nothing that's been discussed in the dressing room, but him personally. That's what he's looking at, 8 points total. And he said that anything over 70 points should put us in a good position, but then he also said that Tottenham are basically capable of winning all of their games, which, you know, probably won't happen, but I understand what he's saying. If they were all them off games, they can beat all of those teams. I genuinely believe that winning them 6 in a row will be tough, but Liverpool at the moment really aren't that team that they were a few weeks ago. Man City, who knows what will be happening there? Will they, maybe they've won the league title already, I don't know. Arsenal, they've had 2 weeks on Arsenal. Arsenal have played 4 games before, since Tottenham last played. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting end to the season, but Villa have it, you know, all in their hands, shall I say. Yeah, starting with Chelsea, if they can get that over the line, then what position they're in for the final three games against Brighton, Liverpool and Palace.
Yeah, let's have a quick hello to the people watching along live. As you said, this is not something we normally do. So, Lewis, good afternoon. Scott Taylor says he's feeling a little bit of atmosphere ahead of tomorrow. Robert says, what a wonderful time to be a villain. Looking forward to this one. Afternoon, Dylan, Simon. Somebody said, first time I can actually watch live, just finishing work. Linux. It's the best pronunciation I can do of that, I think. Sai says, Dan, John, no more arm ducks. And Mitchell says, would you rather a bionic arm or a bionic leg? But Mitchell, we can't get into that now, sadly. All right, we're here to talk about... John started to think about it there for a second. No, we're not doing it. We ain't got time. We're here today to talk about the presser, injury updates, predicted 11, that kind of stuff. Let's start with the press conference then. Obviously, you and Emery speaking to the media. We'll start with kind of... probably an interview that was done by somebody else. I don't know what the source was, but he was speaking about kind of his ambitions here, and there was a line about kind of effectively challenging for the Premier League, which gives me a little bit of vindication, because on Wednesday you and I filmed a video in the office about what are Villa's, like, what's the ceiling here under Emery, like, is a Premier League title actually achievable? And that video will be either coming out Sunday or next week, depending on if we beat Chelsea. Not that, like, that's dependent on, because we're going to win the title this year, but if the mood is a little bit low, I'm not going to post a video going, can Villa win the Premier League? Because it looks stupid. But we had that chat about, like, what is Villa's ceiling, and that kind of feels nicely relevant now that Emery also has talked about similar things. What did he say about it today?
Yeah, so he was asked about it again. So it was BN Sport Asia that kind of put it to him, and I kind of expected Emery just to say, like, what? Really? You know, we've gone straight on Chelsea. And he does say those things, but he also says that, you know, we can dream about it. And I think he is falling into that kind of perception of, well, Villa have done so well this season. This is his first full campaign. We are playing Europe. We've had injuries. Kind of any excuse that you could throw at Villa to suggest why they can't finish top four next season doesn't work. Yeah. We proved it this season. You know, just signed and extended his deal, or the club activated it, and he's obviously agreed to it. So 2027. Who's asked what can Villa achieve in that time is a challenging for a league title, genuinely, like a thing. And again, he didn't bat it away. And I think he probably would have maybe a few weeks ago or months ago. Well, he did, because Villa were in a title race for a period of time.
Yeah, true.
And he didn't really entertain it. He went to the, you know, the day 34, where are we then? And I think we are on day 34 now. Mm-hmm. But it was after the Arsenal win that he finally declared that we were contenders for the Champions League. So yeah, Emery basically said today that, you know, yes, that's a dream and we can aspire to be more consistent than other teams, therefore being as consistent as the teams who are at the moment, Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City. And again, let's bear in mind, why are we two wins away from Liverpool or so? Maybe three, something along those lines. But then he also conceded that obviously Villa economically aren't with those clubs yet and that financial fair play is a thing. But then he did, you know, again, mention that we've been intelligent, we've been wise in the decisions we've taken. For example, I mean, Morgan Rogers is the one, isn't it? That's the kind of the key example there. There's been other players that Villa have signed that they would hope will go on to be, you know, top Premier League players. Novakovic is one. He'll be coming in the summer. So, yeah, he kind of explained that with the consistency and everything, the structure that Villa have, Villa can compete and be more consistent than even what they are this season. That they don't have to spend hundreds of millions of pounds, but obviously other teams can, which makes it, you know, overthrowing the likes of an Arsenal or a Man City or anyone else. You know, even I know Man United's a bit of a basket case at the moment, but they can spend whatever they want really in the next coming years because of revenues and the rules. I know they've kind of kicked up a fuss about the potential new rules that could be coming into play. But if they were to finally spend their money correctly, well, then they can buy a lot of good players. They just haven't so far. Chelsea being an example of another club who haven't spent the money wisely. Villa have. So, yeah, he isn't batting away that talk, I suppose, which is enough in itself, like one of the reporters said today in the written section. So the embargoed stuff, Emery spoke well again. So 10:30 tonight on Birmingham Live. This reporter basically started it by saying, I didn't expect us to be talking about a title race and I've been covering this club for X amount of years. And Tommy, obviously the comms manager, started laughing because it's like, yeah, you know, neither did we before Unai turned up. Yeah, it is quite remarkable to think that it's even a conversation, and Emery didn't even like crack a smile. He was kind of like fully like, yep, yeah, we can do that, you know, as long as we do these things, which is obviously the hard bit, but certainly not, you know, suggesting it's not in Villa's reach, shall I say, in the next 5 years.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil the video that we've done, because it was you and me, so we'll say the same things, but you know, we kind of said that if we're always kind of up and around the top four this year, we're not a million miles away from the top of the league. It's not like the top of the league is 90 points and we're 60. It's much closer than that without having it in front of me. So, you know, the theory is if you're always around top four, why can't one season you be nearer the top than you are nearer to sixth place, for example? So I'm not saying that, oh yeah, give it 3 years, Villa will win the league, simple as that. But like, to be in that conversation is something that is now a much more realistic target than it would have been even 2 years ago, never mind 10 or whatever. So that's enough on that for now, because like I said, that will be a video that's coming up in the coming days anyway. On to Chelsea then. Obviously Emery was asked about him, and I'll get to that in a second. Mixed bag, aren't they, Chelsea? Probably the perfect definition of that. Sometimes I can turn up and you think, something decent there. Like there is some decent players in there. You look through the squad, and again, kind of harking back to another video we've done, you do look through the squad and think, would I take any of Chelsea's players here? Probably not, which is a sign of their recruitment and a sign of ours, I suppose, as well. But there is some talented individuals in there, but it's absolutely not clicked as a team at all. Some of the things we've seen in the recent weeks about the arguing over who takes a penalty and stuff like that, that's why Chelsea are mid-table. They're not a team unit at all. But every so often they turn up and you go, oh, bloody hell. What kind of Chelsea turns up Saturday, do you think? The semi-good Chelsea or the one that Villa should be kind of steamrolling over?
Emery's expecting the one that is the good Chelsea.
Maybe he'd say that. Bloody Unai.
Yeah, but to be fair, if you look at it, they've actually been, apart from that dribbling against Arsenal, and obviously they lost to City, but they lost to City and they played very well. They probably should have gone through. But they've actually been on a really good run of form before then. So they're actually putting things together. All of a sudden they were creeping up to like sixth position or something, weren't they? When they beat United, I think they were I don't think they overtook United, but I think they might have been close to.
Would have been close, yeah.
Yeah, 12 games and beaten in all competitions, I think it was, before they lost to City. So, you know, and Emery said, and he was right to say as well, before Arsenal scored their second goal, they were well in that game. Obviously, they collapsed because we can all look at their mentality, the players that they've got, the character, etc. There is basically no leadership there. Mm. And even the leader that they do have, Thiago Silva, is, I believe it's his wife. She takes to Twitter all the time. So it is crazy what's going on there. The players seem to play in a structure, then it kind of just goes to anything that they want it to be. Like even the centre-backs play with a degree of freedom, which, you know, for Villa,
it's bizarre.
Is like mouth-watering for the likes of Watkins, Bailey, those guys. We're going to have to be on top of our game even still, because I don't think that it will be a game where Villa will be coasting the first 20 minutes or 30 minutes and the game will be done. I don't think it will be that at all. I think if they can get a second goal, then the game will be theirs. You know, they could probably go on to score 3 or 4 is what I'm trying to say. But they're going to have to play the game right, and they're not going to, I don't think, face a Chelsea team. It will just let them kind of win the game, because they're not that bad, Chelsea. They really aren't. Again, I know they got battered by Arsenal, but that said more about their, as I say, mentality rather than anything else. I do think they have a lot of quality players, but yeah, they haven't gelled. They will be missing Carney, Raheem Sterling, Enzo Fernandez, so, you know, they've got injuries. So have we, of course. I don't know about Nkunku, those players who could kind of like touch and go, but they're not going to be fully fit anyway. Cole Palmer's obviously overcome his illness now. So he'll, I presume he'll be starting. But yeah, they'll also be missing a few key players. Like Gusto, for example, is key for them. Reece James won't be playing. Neither will Cole will. I don't know how their team's even going to look, but I just know that if Villa concentrate on themselves, then they will have a very good chance of winning the match. And actually, I think the way that Villa lost in the FA Cup probably helps them in this situation, because they know that, I don't know, maybe they underestimated Chelsea then and now they won't again, because they know that, well, they got 3 past us and we're winning 3-0 until Diaby scored, if I'm not mistaken, late on. So they've done us on that night. They could do it again if we're not at our game. So, tricky match, and one that we need to take, you know, absolutely kind of full on. At the end of the day, we've got 3 more games left after this one, so we can do this game. 69 points then. You're nearly there.
Yeah, nearly there. Oh, it's ever so enticing, isn't it, this race for the Champions League? It's very exciting. Just looking at their last few results, Chelsea obviously beat 5-0 against Arsenal on Tuesday night. I think Pochettino, or allegedly Pochettino, called for them to prove why they're not Cole Palmer FC. That went well. I would suggest that this game on Saturday will probably prove why they are Cole Palmer FC. Not that they will, I don't think they'll win, spoiler alert for my prediction later, but they will be a better side with him in the team, obviously. They obviously beat Everton 6-0 the Monday Night Football the week before. And then just looking at their away games, can I filter it by that? No, I cannot. Last 5 away games, a loss, obviously Arsenal, then 3 draws and then a win previously, which you think, oh, unbeaten on the road, that's okay. That's a 2-2 draw away at Sheffield United, a 2-2 draw away at Brentford, and a 1-1 against Man City. To be fair, that one's decent. But, you know, you think vulnerable, not great away from home. If it is the Chelsea that turn up, that are kind of, I don't want to say laughing stocks, that's probably a bit harsh, although some might say it isn't. Villa should be winning this game. If we're on our A game, we can see that we can beat anybody. So I'm not of this mindset now of like looking at the game, it's like Aston Villa Chelsea, and go, oh, that could be difficult. Like, oh, Chelsea got some good players. I see that as an opportunity for show how good we are, go and beat them.
Yeah, and I think we will, as I say, if we play to our best level. Yeah, they haven't won in 5 Chelsea away from home, and they've only won one game, easy for me to say, since they beat us at Villa Park. So, you know,
wow.
Hardly like they come into us on, so they don't lose many games, or they haven't recently, apart from the Arsenal match, you know, in the last 2 or 3 months. But they are coming to Villa Park, and we are very good at home. I know we had that little blip, but I think, you know, that's down to certain things. I think we've kind of found our groove again. The Lille match is a bit of an exception because there's, you know, for many different circumstances, that's just a different match to playing Chelsea at home. But we'll have the supporters on our side again. 8 o'clock kickoff. The crowd will be greeting the players again. You know, it should be a great atmosphere. This is our penultimate home game of the season in the league, which, you know, that creeps up on you, doesn't it? Olympiacos, so it doesn't feel like, you know, the season's ending just yet. But we're not far away. So, yeah, it's going to be a night where I you know, I hope the atmosphere will be crackling. You know, even if Villa were to go behind like they did against Brentford, it's, you know, straight on to it, you know, the home crowd getting behind the players and all that kind of stuff. Because that, I think, got us over the line really against Brentford in the end. Yeah, that positivity, the players, again, McGinn said in the mix zone that, you know, although we're tired, although it's been a long season, the adrenaline of playing at Villa Park gets you through it. So, yeah. The crowd needs to be on song again against Chelsea, no matter what the score is, no matter how we're playing. And I'm sure they will be.
Let's do the injury update then. Not a fat lot to report, I don't think. So if you want to just rattle through where we are from a fitness perspective.
Yeah, it's always good when it's a short injury update. So Moreno is still out with a calf injury. Zaniolo is still out with his injury that he picked up against Lille. But Emery said that he kind of collared him before he came over for his press, and he was speaking to Zaniolo and he feels much more positive and more like comfortable. He's back running again. So, you know, he'll play some part before the end of the season. I was thinking, you know, how he came off against Lille, there was a stretch you were thinking, is this one of the last games? If not the last game, that he's going to play for the club. But no, I don't know when he'll be back, but shouldn't be long now, even though there's, 3 weeks left of the season, apart from if we get to the final. Yeah, those two are out. And Emery says he's got no fresh injury concerns. So, yeah, then the other four, Kamara, Mings, Ramsey and Buendia, obviously all out as well.
As you say, a nice little section. Don't need to add any more to that. We can move on to predicted 11. Let's work out how this team will line up on Saturday tea time or night time. Sai says, if Dougie comes back in, who drops out? Yuri, Leon, Musa or Leon? But he meant Rogers rather than Leon twice. We spoke about Douglas Luiz coming back, didn't we, in the Q&A at the start of the week, I think, of like, well, we've won twice without him. Does he come back in? You said, yes, he does. So do you want to run me through a predicted 11? I always say that it kind of picks itself because we've only got a certain amount of personnel to deal with, but does it pick itself?
I think it does this weekend. I'd go with Cash. forgot the place now. Cash, Konsa, Al, Luca Dean, Martinez in goal. Douglas Luiz and Yuri Tielemans holding, John McGinn supporting Watkins in that advanced role, Bailey Wright, Rogers left, 3-0 Villa.
Don't ruin your score prediction bit as well. Is there any argument to suggest that you just change it up at the back a little bit and you do the Konsa Carlos Powell thing or not?
Yeah, possibly. And yeah, this could be an argument for Luiz staying on the bench and Tielemans and McGinn staying as they are, but I'd look at it more as Diaby for me, you know, I don't think you can. I don't know. I just Diaby, he needs to come in and out of the team sometimes. He's not being consistent at the moment. He was for a little period of time, but that was when he was having, you know, periods where he could come into the team and make an impact off the bench. And sometimes I think that's the best thing for him. And this isn't a criticism, by the way. I think he's actually adapted very well in his first season, considering, joining a new club, new country, Emery as well. Yes, he worked under him at PSG, but Emery's systems and tactics aren't specific to one club. So he's had a lot to deal with. So for me, I think it's more, I'd like John McGinn to play further forward rather than it being, would Luiz break up a strong duo with Tielemans and McGinn? Luiz, as we said before, is what, an £80 million player. So I don't have any concerns that all of a sudden we're going to lose a match because he comes back into the team. I don't think it works like that at all. So yeah, for me, I'd rather see McGinn further forward. Diaby come on to the pitch if we are needing a goal or even if we're winning, because that's going to cause problems for Chelsea. As I say before, they're going to have holes at the back, even if the match is a draw, because their players, you know, yes, they're in a structure and a system, but it kind of goes out the window at some points because they're not a coherent unit, shall I say. So yeah, that would be my 11. And then, yeah, sorry, Dan, the defence. Carlos probably been kind of, I don't know, unlucky not to play more than he has. But I think Emery's kind of using this system at the moment to use Konsa as a centre-back because we were lacking that kind of, I don't know what exactly it was, but we started to concede quite a lot of goals, didn't we, especially in that Brentford game. And him coming back into the centre-back role has kind of shored us up a bit. So, yeah, I'm happy with that 11.
We're going to do score predictions in a sec, so if people watching along live can leave a score prediction in the comments, I'll read some out when we get to that segment. How much do you think to the players, because it's certainly a thing that fans will talk about, going 9 points ahead of Spurs if we're to win Saturday night before they even kick a ball against Arsenal on the Sunday, and hopefully they lose anyway and it stays 9 points for another week. Do you think the players will be thinking about that? Well, is that something that maybe not all of them, but someone like a John McGinn who's kind of setting himself points, targets and stuff, they must be thinking, what an opportunity that is. We can really kind of set our stall out here and say, right, we've won, over to you Spurs. But that is a big gap that you've got to turn around, regardless of what you think of their fixtures. They still have to go and win them.
Yeah, yeah. And I do think the players will be thinking about it. They'll be looking at the table as much as what we have been since November. You know, there's no getting around it. We are into the business end of the season now. We are a few games away from the campaign being complete. So, yeah, they're definitely looking at the table. They know that we've got a gap on Spurs. But as I say, I'm sure Emery's told them as well, this isn't a gap that's... you know, you are right, Dan. Yes, they have to go and win those games, but Burnley and Sheffield United, I'm counting that as 6 points. So I do
put... Sheffield United almost gave you Man United a scare, didn't they? Momentarily.
Who? No, I understand what you're saying. And those games are later on in the season for them. So if we're looking beat Chelsea and even win at Brighton, that would, you know, pretty much do it for us. And those games against Sheffield and Burnley wouldn't matter in a weird way, because I don't think Tottenham will win against Chelsea, Liverpool and Arsenal. They might win one, they might even win two. Yeah, but they've got their own job to do as such. So yeah, the players will be looking at it as a huge opportunity. And what I would say to that though is they won't be feeling pressure about it. They'll see it as an opportunity and exactly that, because Emery always says we never play with pressure. And I will ask him next weekend, because he always mentions it about, you know, that's easier said than done. You know, when you come onto Villa Park and you've a couple of games from the Champions League and you don't feel any pressure, that's quite a, you know, mentality to have, especially for those players who haven't even played in Europe before, apart from this season, let alone playing in the Champions League. It's like a meteoric rise for a lot of those players. So to not feel that pressure, you know, what has Emery done there? Probably not something that he can, or anyone would be able to explain in a press conference. You'd probably need to see it to really kind of believe exactly what's happened. So, yeah, no pressure on the players. So they won't be feeling the pressure, but they'll be fully aware that this is a massive opportunity.
Well, let's hope they do not pass up. Predictions time then. We'll have a quick update on the predictions league. For those that don't watch regularly, me and John have tracked every single Premier League game with a score prediction throughout the podcast. If we've not done a podcast for a specific game, we've at least texted each other and said, right, what's your score prediction? So we've got it on record. We don't track the Europa Conference League matches, only Premier League. So this is where we're at. It's very tight, and it has been for a long time between John and I in the predictions. The score's on the doors with four games to go. I have 25 points. Now, the scoring system is that if you get the correct outcome, you just say 2-1 Villa, but it's 1-0 in reality, you get 1 point. If you get the scoreline bang on, you get 3 points. So I have 25 points this season. John, you've been trailing behind me pretty much every week for a long time, until this week, where you've gone into the lead with 26 points. You got the scoreline bang on for Wolves. You said 2-0, and we both predicted Villa to win against Bournemouth, so a point each. So technically you went ahead of me for the Wolves game, but I didn't add the scores up till now. So you're a point ahead of me in the predictions league with four to go. I mean, you really kind of pulled it out of the bag, haven't you, at the business end?
You were absolutely devastated when you were totally in
the... I've been ahead all season.
I'm totally honest, I'm not too fussed, but you seem to. Every preview show we've been doing, it's always, oh, I'm 10 points ahead, I'm 5 points ahead, and I'm just taking it. It's a long season, Dan.
Yeah, well, you know, all these things are very important, aren't they? So, right, score predictions then. What are you going for?
Crying?
No, it's not me crying. I hope you won't be able to hear it. There's a baby who's very upset. So let's wrap this up if we can.
I will say 3-1 Villa.
Oh, 3-1. I was tempted by 3-1. I do think there'll be goals in it, but I've got to change it for the sake of... Well, I've now got to think about the predictions league. I can't go for the same, because where does that get me? I'll say 3-1 for John. Let me input that into my document, colour-coded and everything. What a loser. I'm going 4-0.
4-0, okay.
I think it'll be that Chelsea that turn up, that crumble, and if we score, they'll just think, oh, God, what have we got to play for here? Nothing.
They've got it in them to crumble. They've also got it in them to play well, so yeah, we'll see.
It will be tough, but for the sake of the predictions, I'm going a little bit left field. Let's read a couple of these out then before we wrap up. 3-1 says TK, Watkins, Louise and Cash. Anthony says praying for a 2-0. Robert says 2-1. British Mick says 3-2 to Villa, Watkins and Palmer with braces. Christ. Scott Taylor says 3-1. Stephen, 2-1. 2-1 to us, Sai. Jack says, could be a tight 1-0. So I said, I'll take that. A horrible 1-0 is fine. And it absolutely is. A lot of laughing at the 4-0. Yeah, why not? Who cares? The one thing I do want to see tomorrow, just to quickly end this, is an Ollie Watkins goal. I want to see that 20-goal barrier broken. I want to see him edge closer to the golden boot or the platinum ball or whatever it was we said on the last podcast. Yeah. Has that gone out yet? Have we done that one? Yes, yeah. We have. Of course we have, yeah. I'm all over the place. I want to see Ollie Watkins score, and I think, as you said earlier, he could potentially be licking his lips at the Chelsea back line if they are in that mood where they crumble a little bit. So the one that had a Watkins brace and a Palmer brace, I'll take the Watkins brace. Just anything to see him scoring a couple of extra goals on that top goal score chart.
Yeah, and to be fair, if Palmer scores two as well, then won't he be ahead of him still? Or
yeah.
I can't remember. But I'd back Watkins to score as well tomorrow, to be honest. Like, I don't know exactly how many goals Chelsea have scored, but just looking at their away form, there was lots of twos and maybe even a couple of threes.
Conceded, so. You mean?
Yeah. So they will be open. Again, I don't know how they're going to line up. They don't have a right back. It's going to be right back. Will it be Gilchrist again, the young centre back? So, not sure. And then the midfield as well. They've got so many players and so many of them injured, but then it's working out the 11. There's just square pegs and round holes as well. So, Villa need to just play their game and they'll be okay, I think.
Yeah. Someone says, you've extended your lead with the predictions lead with my 4-0 shout, but I bet you'll gladly take the 4-0 to lose the personal battle in the predictions league. You'd take the 4-0 instead, wouldn't you? Absolutely, you would. Right, I think we'll call it a day there. Very quickly, John. Bionic arm or bionic leg?
Oh, no, I need to think about it now. I'd say bionic arm.
Why?
Don't ask me which one.
What benefits do you get from a bionic arm?
Bionic leg would be weird, wouldn't it? I know bionic arm, but you can use one without... Like, I don't really use my left arm for anything apart from holding things. I need my legs to do the same thing, and you just have a weird gait, then, wouldn't you? You'd be limping around.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Plus, you couldn't, like, compete in events or play football because you wouldn't be allowed. If it's bionic, you know, that's against the rules, I presume. But then a bionic left arm, fine, no issue.
But I think you'd want to replace your strong arm with the bionic arm to make it even better.
Nah, not sure. I think I would feel wrong and weird.
Nah, I think you get used to it. So even just like start chopping up food. If you use your right hand normally, your bionic arm, you rattle through it and you, bionic arm, blast it, done.
If you asked me a different question, would I take all bionic arms and all bionic legs? What do you think about that?
Well, I'd say yes. Like, would you? Superhuman, yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
A good
Yeah. All right.
So it would
buy like a bionic podcast, wouldn't it?
Yeah, would you rather have a bionic arm or a bionic leg? Well, actually, I'd have a bionic everything, which is your answer.
A robot.
Yeah. Replace you with AI. Right, okay. Whoever's question that was, they said, I want this to be answered. So there you go. Hopefully you got a little bit of enjoyment out of that. We've done half an hour. Think, if I'm correct, there is a podcast on the channel, either on YouTube or the podcast feed, from now for the next 2 weeks. There'll be something every single day because obviously we've got Europe commitments over the next 2 weeks. We're going to have previews, post-match shows, Q&As. We filmed a couple of like generic-y talking points like the Watkins Player of the Season thing that we did a couple of days ago. So I'm pretty sure there's something from us every single day now for the next couple of weeks. So if you like what we do, you're welcome. There you go. Plenty more to listen to. If you don't like what we do, you're going to have to keep skipping because there's going to be a lot of podcasts coming out at the moment. John, thanks for joining me. Thanks, everyone, for watching along or listening. Watch along live, but if you listen to this after the fact, get involved in the conversation. Join the comments section down below. Remember that this podcast is sponsored by NordVPN. Must not forget that. All the information you need is in the podcast description down below. There's an exclusive discount code that gets you... I don't know what it is. It might be 3 months for free or money off or something, but it's a good discount, whatever it is. I can't remember the specifics. Yeah, click the link and you will find out. Exactly, John. Fair play. That's it for this one. We'll see you again tomorrow. Cheers for watching. Bye-bye.